This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03. You made it to Friday afternoon, February 21st. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. We're talking to Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Viterra Group in Chicago. Tim, unless you received a promotion, Tim, and you have now become the head of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. But right now, let's talk about the situation between Major League Baseball and ESPN. It seems like they're headed towards a divorce, and it sounds like, based on the Major League Baseball news release yesterday, there's a little bit of recrimination on the part of Major League Baseball. They feel they're not receiving enough attention from ESPN.
Excellent pivot, Robin. And Professor Goolsbee was a professor of mine at business school, so there's a connection there. So great. The idea between Major League Baseball and ESPN, it's been kind of brewing for some time. Major League Baseball has arguably made some improvements to its product over the last couple of years, the pitch clock and the way that the tie games at the end of nine innings are broken and that kind of stuff, arguably overdue to catch up with where the fans are and improve the product, the pace of the game, make it a bit more modernized and streamlined. And there's been a bit of a ratings bump and attendance a bump as well. So Major League Baseball feels emboldened right now that they're on the trajectory after a number of years of sort of decline and becoming more stale. And ESPN, has been part of that, but also recognizes, too, that the current product isn't necessarily as valuable as Major League Baseball thinks it is. And thus...
I was going to say, Tim, I'm going to keep you on through the traffic and weather break because there's another conversation to be had about what ESPN is and what it will become as the sports universe goes here, there, and everywhere, not only on cable, but on broadcast properties, but in the digital and streaming world as well. So stick around, Tim. We're talking to Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Viterra Group in Chicago, about the breakup of ESPN and Major League Baseball.
It's 60 minutes of financial planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
ESPN and Major League Baseball are severing their 35-year relationship, and Major League Baseball will be on the move beyond ESPN after the conclusion of the 2025 season. We're talking with Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Viterra Group in Chicago. Tim, thank you once again for hanging on the line with us. And as we talk about just where ESPN is right now, I have noticed just from watching their daily programming, it might as well be the NFL and NBA channel. That's all they talk about. That is what their opinion programming really zeroes in on. There is more opinion programming. Stephen A. Smith is one of their signature stars. Chris, you know, Mad Dog Russo, formerly of WFAN in New York. And then, of course, Pat McAfee. So there's just more sports talk on ESPN. And as the opinion programming becomes foreground on the four-letter network, does this mean that play-by-play, especially baseball, will become de-emphasized?
Well, I think that's one of the key issues that Major League Baseball has had with ESPN over the last couple of years is not the quality of the production. The Sunday Night Baseball Game of the Week is literally the only game on during that time frame. So it is a marquee window for Major League Baseball. They do have a problem, Major League Baseball does, with its relative lack of coverage during the rest of the day. And to your point, right, that rest of the day sports commentary is what used to be kind of just a filler is now almost a dynamic, if you will, for the swagger and the brand identity of what ESPN offers. Now, that said, that we've talked about this for eons, right? Live sports windows and rights for those games, regardless of league and intent, is valuable real estate. And I think the real issue here is that Major League Baseball feels like their real estate is increasing in value, and ESPN, both directly with Major League Baseball, but also in the midst of their own issues, does not see it nearly as worth the previous price of investment.
Now, does this mean that a premier sports property is going to hit the open market during the baseball season? And potentially, where could Major League Baseball go to air the games that used to be on ESPN starting next year?
So there's a lot of conjecture. I think, look, baseball is still a valuable property. I would argue it's maybe not so valuable on a national level aside from playoffs, despite Major League Baseball's attempt to carve out some national windows. It's very much a regional game, and I think a lot of the value and the activity is going to be at the regional level, like the marquee sports of the world, Chicago sports networks of the world, or direct-to-consumer streaming services. And this is where ESPN gets involved more heavily, because ESPN, as we've talked about, by the fall is deigned to roll out their own direct-to-consumer streaming proposition for like $30 a month. So this is really a scratch for really understanding and owning and delivering those regional and team-by-team offerings. I think the reality, though, is that Major League Baseball will have other options. There will be other windows, and there will be other entities. Frankly, according to what I read, ESPN may still be in the mix for some coverage of games, just not the the level that the relationship is today.
And this is a problem that baseball has had for decades. I mean, Pete Rozelle, the NFL commissioner, was visionary in terms of how he marketed football to the TV networks back in the 50s and was able to turn it into a national sport as a result. The Lords of the Realm, who owned baseball teams, they wanted the money, and they never really thought in terms of technological change and how baseball could evolve with it. But even back in the 80s, the networks gritted their teeth, you know, ABC and NBC gritted their teeth for the weekly offerings just so they could get the playoffs and the World Series. So this has been a problem that baseball has had with nationwide television coverage for a long time.
Yeah, and look, we've talked about this as well. I mean, in the world of where Netflix creates documentaries around things like Formula One and HBO with, you know, seasons of NFL preseason training and that kind of stuff, the narrative is important. The storytelling becomes important. And I think a big reason for this split right now, at least in the near term, is that the storytelling component of ESPN is not living up to, I think, Major League Baseball's expectations. And I think there are plenty of entities that would love to step up, help storytell, and frankly, pump up the value of regular season MLB baseball games as well as playoffs. So I think more to come on this story.
Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Viterra Group in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, the latest on the Chicago area home buying market.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Home sales dropped nationally last month as prices hit a record high. The Chicago housing market faces similar challenges with affordability and limited listings. Joining us to discuss is Steve Kirch, Chicago-based housing and real estate expert. Steve, thank you for joining us today. And when I talk to people who are in the market for a new home, or maybe they're just restarting their search, and I'm sure you have this experience too. There's one word that really comes to mind when you hear them tell their story, and that is frustration. They are just absolutely gobsmacked at the prices that some of these homeowners are asking for. So what will break that logjam eventually?
Good afternoon, Rob. Yeah, I think that especially for buyers, it's a very frustrating time. Interest rate, mortgage rates have stayed high, higher than we thought they were going to be at this point in the cycle. That's a big frustration. And it seems that month after month, we see prices going up quite a bit to record highs now for a January nationally. And that's just really putting a crimp in buyers, especially for first-time buyers who have to come up with that first down payment without the benefit of any equity in a previous home. So I think that's been putting a damper on sales in a lot of places across the country. I should say, however, that Chicago, in the Chicago area, not falling into that trap. We actually saw home sales rise here in January in both of those markets, so kind of bucking the national trend.
One of the most remarkable things to see over the last couple of years is just the absolute explosion in millennial wealth as a result of this run-up in home prices and home values, that millennials who bought homes maybe before the pandemic and locked in those low interest rates during the pandemic are now sitting on a great deal of home equity. What happens to someone who buys now? Are they buying at the top of the market, or can they expect that level of appreciation going forward?
Well, again, historically, except for a few brief periods in history, home prices have always climbed at least enough to hedge against inflation. So if you've got a long time horizon, you can probably expect that that's still going to be the case. Could we be at the top of the pricing market? Well, yeah, that could be the case now. But again, given where inventories are, and that's especially true here in the city of Chicago, where they actually fell quite a bit in January. The inventories were down almost 15%. So, I mean, there's just without that many choices on the market for buyers, you know, there isn't much chance of prices falling anytime soon.
Steve Kirch, Chicago-based real estate and housing expert, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Entrepreneur Friday, operating a business that's based on promoting wellness.
What is Daxer.U?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A furniture store on Chicago's South Side is gutted by fire. A judge rules that government workers need to challenge widespread federal job cuts in a different legal venue. It's Entrepreneur Friday. We talk with the owner and curator of a wellness center in Chicago. And some consumers are buying more items than usual due to fear of tariffs or another pandemic. WBBM Business, the markets are lower and losing some altitude. The Dow is now down over 1.5%, 710 points. The NASDAQ is down over 1.5%, 321 points. And the S&P 500 is down over 1.25%, or 83 points. We have 25 degrees right now in Chicago under sunny skies, going up to 30 today. It's 1231. As the Noon Business Hour continues, the Chicago Fed has released its economic forecast for the local economy. We're joined by Austin Goolsbee, President and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. Austin, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. And what are some of the economic challenges that the Chicago area is facing 5 years out from the pandemic shutdowns?
Well, first, Rob, thank you for having me back on. The Chicago area, like a lot of the Midwest, is dealing with slower population growth than the rest of the country. So the overall growth rate has been a little slower than the rest of the country. But for the most part, as goes the national economy, so goes the Chicago economy. We have a more intense manufacturing, transportation, logistics, shipping, and financial services than the rest of the nation. That manufacturing part has been a little harder hit, you know. So one of the challenges we face here in the immediate term is on both policy grounds. If there are going to be tariffs on steel, for example, that's going to raise the cost of production for manufacturers in our region. And I hear that when I'm going around talking to business. And coming out of COVID, where it was such a weird moment and people really could only spend money on physical goods. There were so many services that were just not available. Now we're shifting back consumer spending to services. And so our manufacturing industries are also kind of dealing with that shift away from demand.
You talk about the threat of tariffs, and I know your boss, Chairman Jerome Powell, has said the approach the entire time when it comes to achieving that soft landing, achieving that 2% target, was to remain data dependent. But at the same time, you know this, I know this, this White House has a great deal of rhetoric. So how do you find the data inside just all of the statements and talk and gossip and discussion that comes out of the Trump administration?
Yeah, look, that's the key. The key challenge is to find the through line. I like to tell the people when I go to D.C. for the meetings, our Chicago motto is there's no bad weather, there's only bad clothing. It's not our place to tell Washington what policies that they should enact. They can choose to enact whatever policies they want, and then just like if the high is going to be 30, I'll choose the right jacket. If the conditions are going to be what they are, our job is to think through the scenarios. Anything that affects prices or employment, the Fed has to run the scenarios and figure out what is it going to mean. The law kind of tells us that. You raise the key point, though, which is it's not really the rhetoric. It's not the proposals. It's trying to think through on the ground how do the actual policies taken as a whole affect the economic outlook. And that's what we're gonna try to do. That's what I've tried to do. And one of the best ways to supplement traditional economic analysis is to get out and talk to people in the region, talking to consumers, talking to business leaders. And at the Chicago Fed, we're trying to do that every week, pretty much.
And you talk about in the Chicago area and the Midwest as a whole, population growth is a real challenge when it comes to sustaining economic growth in the future. At the same time, though, we just had a segment about the real estate market in the Chicago area and the frustration that a lot of home buyers have when it comes to going out there and looking for homes and just seeing such limited supply and prices that defy belief at some
that
time.
That are expensive.
Yeah.
Look, I don't need to tell anybody that the strongest thing about the last 5 years in the economy has been how robust the job market is, and the weakest thing about the economy by far has been what happened to prices and inflation. And at the tip of the spear on cost increases have been in housing, and that's starting to moderate. You've seen over the last 3 to 5 months that the inflation rate of housing has come back closer to a growth rate like what it was pre-pandemic. But there's no way around it in Chicago, in the Chicagoland area, and in the whole region. The price of housing level is very high and outside the affordability for a lot of people.
Austin Goolsbee, President and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, thank you for joining us today and sharing your insights on the economy in the Chicago area. Coming up next in Entrepreneur Friday, building a business based on helping people feel better.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Entrepreneur Friday. The Haji Healing Salon in Bronzeville offers holistic wellness experiences, including yoga, herbalism, and meditation. We welcome in Aya Nicole Cook, owner and wellness curator of the Haji Healing Salon at 44th and Cottage Grove in the Bronzeville neighborhood on the south side. Aya, thank you for joining us today. You've been in business since 2018. We've had this conversation before, but now we're 7 years into the owning the Healing Salon. And what are some of the lessons that you have learned along the way as you've built this business over the years?
Oh, great day, and thank you for having me back. I think the biggest lesson that has come through these many years of building this business has been maintaining an ability to go with the flow, right? The most consistent thing in life is change, and everything is always changing. And although, like, as we encounter change in our lives and in the world, the needs that we have for our healing change as well. And so I just find that I have to stay really plugged into my community and really willing to adapt and continue to provide what's needed.
And something that has really taken off since you've opened, just as a nationwide, even a worldwide trend, is this greater awareness of one's own mental health and taking care of yourself. And this is such a common message. It's everywhere. I mean, Drew Carey signs off The Price is Right with a reminder to make sure you're staying on top of your mental health. And how does that translate into people knocking on your door?
Yeah, I think everything that's offered here at Haji Healing Salon is one way that folks might take better care of their mental health. Some people are drawn to a yoga class because they appreciate the way getting connected to the body and breathing deeply calms the mind, right? Some folks come in for a Reiki healing session. I just finished one here today, and that's an energy healing practice that involves the laying on of hands, and it's extremely relaxing. And so some folks, you know, for them, a Reiki session once a month or every 2 weeks does the trick. Some other folks are really drawn in for the more meditative practices, like what we call yoga nidra, which is deep guided relaxation, where a lot of healing can happen in a kind of liminal space that you're guided into through a meditation script. So, I think we offer a lot of ways for folks to take care of their mental health. I'm also seeing a lot of folks moving toward working with herbs as a way of calming the nervous system. Really beautiful and simple approachable herbs like lemon balm, nettle, and oat straw. These are herbs that are more like whole foods that really help take care of the nervous system.
And then, you know, you're an entrepreneur and you have pursued multiple projects, but this seems like your passion project.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh. I feel so in my divine right, on my divine right path. I feel really kind of connected to a mission, essentially, which is to inspire and support folks in creating a lifestyle that's healing. So maybe this isn't a thing. Like, some people come here and they're very curious and they treat it like a little field trip. And, oh, it was fun to have this, you know, kind of wellness experience. But some other folks are really centering these practices that I offer at Haji in their lives. And those people are, you know, seeing a lot of change and they're able to direct the change that's coming into their lives. And so it feels really important to maintain a space, especially in the Black community, where folks can come and learn about how to engage more healing practices in their lives and how to really center their wellness and let everything else happen around that.
I always tell,
yeah, that's my jam.
I always tell people, like, you got to check out Bronzeville just because the history and the culture that just kind of seeps out of every nook and cranny of the neighborhood, every block, something or someone can trace their lineage there or some amazing cultural thing happened there. And it seems like you have developed, you know, not only a business, but it's a community center, a community anchor in Bronzeville.
Yeah. Thank you. I do feel it's very much that for folks. Like, people come in and they just feel like it's really a sanctuary space for them, a safe space, even though that's a challenging phrase, you know, in our culture today. But it's a space that people feel like, you know, okay, I'm on break from lunch. Let me go and, like, do a little vibe check, come to Haji and have a little tea and breathe deep, you know, take in the healing vibes and then get back into my day. Some other folks, you know, for them, it's a weekend destination. They're here for every single Saturday or Sunday yoga class. And, you know, it's definitely, our community has grown through our monthly community meetups where we get together to talk about the book that we read together as a community. We read one book each year, just taking it really slow, one chapter, two chapters every month. And then we have a potluck and a conversation about the book. And so that draws a lot of new people in every time we have a new book. And then what we're reading really inspires the themes of all of the yoga classes and, you know, the different things we offer here. So it's a very consistent and cohesive experience when you're part of the community.
Aya Nicole Cook, owner and wellness curator at Haji Healing Salon, 44th and South Cottage Grove Avenue in the Bronzeville neighborhood. Thank you for joining us today. Still to come, more Americans are putting spending ahead of saving. It's
because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
One in five Americans are doing what's referred to as doom spending, buying more items than usual due to rising anxiety over potential price hikes from tariffs and the threat of another pandemic. We're joined by Bill Ulivieri, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview, the website senecalcapital.com. Bill, thank you for joining us today. Now, when it comes to doom spending, this is considered a Gen Z phenomenon, that the younger among us are the ones who are spending the most because literally spending like there's no tomorrow, it seems.
Rob, I have two children that are Gen Z, and so I know exactly what this issue is about. Doom spending really is a thing for two of my four children, and I think it's a host of issues. It's not just one thing. I think it's the fact that they lived through the 2008 financial crisis. You know, they saw their parents, like my wife and I, we were panicking during that time period. But, you know, growing up in the 60s, my mom and dad barely kept like a hamburger patty on the table. So when they were struggling financially, they never let the kids know. My kids have student debt, which we didn't have growing up. The pandemic and COVID-19, you know, from 2020 on was a huge issue for my kids in terms of social ability and access to services and just going out and doing things. Inflation, like since 2020, according to the website Trueflation, the U.S. family household, their inflation rate is up 26% in the last 4.5 years. And so when you couple all that, those real true financial issues, with the social media, the way it's all delivered, I mean, I love my kids, but they kind of border on histrionic when they are consuming, you know, their news on TikTok and Twitter and Facebook. And it's just, it's like the worst of all worlds for them. And it really is an issue. I mean, it when we were growing up, we would hurt ourselves. Our parents were like, brush it off. But we can't do that with our kids, at least today, because I think there's just too much stuff coming at them.
Well, I was going to say, every generation has a different relationship with money, and I'm thinking about my grandparents, all who have since passed on, but you know, the Great Depression, the real thing in the 30s, I mean, that was very much a part of their growing up, and as a result, my grandparents, I'm sure everybody's grandparents who grew up during that time, they were inclined to save money because they remembered what those days were like, and it really didn't matter what end of the income spectrum you're on. I mean, there were stories about Bob Hope, who was a very wealthy man using coupons at restaurants because he remembered what it was like to be poor.
Oh, 100%, Rob, 100%. I mean, listen, we couldn't do anything on Sundays when I was growing up because everything was closed except the True Value, which closed at noon. And now my kids are buying Amazon packages with one-day delivery. And on top of that, I mean, you talk about being poor, quote unquote. And that is, as a young kid, my family and I, we would go to Reese Park, like at Irving Park in Central, and we would go into the pond, the lagoon, and we would catch crayfish and bring them back and eat them for lunch. Okay, so, I mean, you know, that the concept of poverty and food and making ends meet, like, that's a completely different world than what you and I grew up in and what our grandparents lived through. And actually, I still have clients that would rather keep their money under their mattress than invested in a money market at 4.5% because they're afraid that the banks are going to go under. So the current events and financial trauma of every generation, it's very real. And I think we need to have those conversations with our kids and let them know that, just like you said, every generation has its crisis, and you just put your head down and you do your work and you save and you set aside an emergency fund. And like, this is how progress is made, not by looking around and getting distracted.
Bottom line, you're going to be okay. Bill Ulivary, owner of Seneca Capital Management in Glenview.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.